It's Morning in America. Welcome back. And we'd like to welcome, for the first time on the show, Rob Bishop. He is the chairman of the House Natural Resources Committee, very important, congressman for Utah's 1st District. And we appreciate you joining us, Congressman, Chairman. Thank you.
Thank you for the invitation to be here.
I just want to start with this item. It's geographically far from you. Well, I mean, you're the chairman, so you got to worry about the whole U.S. I just think this was fascinating. Andrew Cuomo's East Berlin, it's called. 15 communities in the state of New York have announced they want to secede from New York and become part of Pennsylvania because that part right there where its border separates, the part of Pennsylvania is booming. Upstate New York is an economic bummer. One of the reason has to do with fracking. They can do it in Pennsylvania. They can't do it in New York. I had not heard about towns wanting to secede. Had you heard that one?
Well, no, and I wish them well in that endeavor.
Yeah. Why do they want to do this? Why does this make some sense? I mean, it's quite stark, isn't it?
It does illustrate, though, the significance of modern technology, especially with things like fracturing, that you don't have to have. It's not an either-or between conservation and economic development. You can do both. And with the ability of doing directional drilling as well as fracking right now, the footprint for economic development is very, very small. And so you can get everything done. Unfortunately, there are a lot of people who just react emotionally to these issues, don't clearly understand it, and they make decisions which are really sad for the economic development of this nation.
Yeah. Tell us about the success of fracturing in terms of the hydraulic fracturing, fracking, in terms of the economy. It has had some impact on this economic lift, whatever economic lift we have seen, correct?
It's had a huge impact. I mean, let's face it, this has been around for over a century. States in where it is being used are perfectly competent in regulating it and maintaining it. And even the Secretary of Interior, which has some business background in that area, clearly understands fracking is not something of which to be fearful. Well construction is the significant issue. If you have a properly constructed well, the fracking is irrelevant to it. So states understand this, the industry understands this, even Secretary Jewell understands it. Unfortunately, a lot of people are just emotional. What it does say, though, is that the United States is a leader now in energy production. We've caught up to the Russians and Saudi Arabians. But we've all done that all on state and private lands.
Right.
If this nation is to go forward now and become an economic leader so we can benefit our allies, we won't be bullied by OPEC, we can increase our exports, lower the cost of energy here, you've got to go onto federal lands and offshore. And that's the purview of my committee. So we're not just a Western committee anymore. We really have an impact on the entire country as well as foreign policy.
And how much of American land is federal land?
That's the sad part. One-third of America is owned by the federal government.
Yeah.
It's never intended to be that way. And it is the amount of that land that is available for production is a huge amount, but we're only doing maybe a quarter of the production that comes from all this land that is owned by the federal government, both onshore and offshore.
We're talking to Rob Bishop. He is congressman for Utah's 1st District, chairman of the House Natural Resources Committee. What happens if you go to a state, Chairman Bishop, like Alaska? What's the percentage of federal land there, and what's the issue there?
I feel sorry for Alaskans. They're almost close to 90% is actually owned and controlled by the federal government.
Wow.
Which is okay if you believe in this concept of federalism, that people should be having the power and the ability to make choices for themselves. Allowing Alaska to produce, to protect themselves, make decisions themselves, that's okay. That's unfortunately not what happens. There's a distinction between federal land and public land. I don't mind public land where people who live in the area get to make the decision of how that land is used. My problem is with federal land where someone in Washington, which is a multi-hour flight away from that destination, controls and dictates what happens in local areas, and that simply is wrong.
Well, federal land, I mean, suggests federal government, so federal government should have some control. Why not, since it's federal?
The fact that it is federal is the problem.
Because they shouldn't be federal in the first place.
Yeah, and they don't make wise decisions back here in Washington. The people who are on the ground, and that's one of the things my committee has already proven in the past, If you look at land management that's done by states, counties, and tribal governments, it's far more effective, far more efficient, far more cost-efficient than what the federal government does with land that abuts state property.
Give us some sense, because there are a lot of ironies here. One of them is that the president is getting a lot of credit, claiming a lot of credit, and many are giving him a lot of credit for economic recovery, part of which has to do with, a substantial part, which has to do with the energy change, energy revolution you were describing, which he was really not strongly in favor of. So there's an irony there. The second thing is, was it Lisa Murkowski who said, Senator Murkowski from Alaska, the president's willing to negotiate with the Iranians, but he's not willing to negotiate with Alaskans.
Well, she's accurate on that one.
Yeah.
No, it is ironic. I mean, we are doing a great job as far as energy development. But as I said earlier, it's all done on state and private property. The federal lands, where the president has some say, it's been a massive disconnect. Any leases that are being allotted right now are leases that are designed to be unattractive to the industry or guaranteeing a lawsuit. Even what he offered up for offshore development is minimal. It was offered in 2005, and he pulled it back. And this is just the first step. The fact is, I think he's going to pull back this offering as well. So this administration is doing nothing to develop energy resources on the federal land they own. And if this country is going to move forward and help our allies and push back against OPEC and Putin and the others, we have to develop the resources on federal land.
Does this tell us something? Folks, if you want to get in on this quickly, you can. 866-680-6464 if you have a question or comment. 866-680-6464. Does this tell us something about the power of whom? The Sierra Club? Where's the power here? Who's got the president's mind or heart on this issue?
Well, I don't know how critical I need to be of a president. Let's face it, he's from Chicago.
Yeah.
His efforts in the Illinois state legislature, his efforts in the short time he was in the U.S. Senate had nothing to do with energy or Western lands. He has surrounded himself in the White House with people, I think, who also have very little knowledge or understanding of Western lands or energy production. The agencies, there's a disconnect between the White House and the agencies. I trust Secretary Jewell to have a better understanding than I do those who are advising the president in the White House. And I think that's really the problem.
That's Secretary
President Obama
Interior.
Has surrounded himself by people who don't know anything about this issue.
Okay, and she is the Secretary of Interior, and she does know something about it.
Yeah. Now, she's very liberal as well. So she doesn't make. I don't agree with everything she does, but at least she has a background. She understands what the words mean.
Has she appeared before your committee yet?
She has in the past. She will be coming up Thursday as we go through the budget, which is going to be exciting, because the president's budget, in my estimation, does nothing. There is no new creative idea. It's just raise taxes, throw money at an issue. And since the White House, in my opinion, is devoid of any kind of new or inventive ideas, I think it's incumbent upon my committee to come up with those creative solutions.
Yeah, well, good. We hope you do. Give us some sense of the scale or any way to assess it, or give us a picture. If you were able to go on public lands, federal lands, what this would mean to, you tell me, the economy, energy leadership, et cetera.
It is almost limitless, because these federal lands have an abundance of energy that, quite frankly, is untapped. And it means a significant difference for my state. Utah is 70% owned by the federal government. Our ability to fund local transportation and education is based on our ability to develop that. If you look at the states, and most of this federal land is in the West, if you look at the states that are supposedly the federal land states, they have increased their education funding by about 35% over the last 20 years.
Interesting.
Non-federal land states, those in the East, have increased it by 68%. The ability for me to fund the education for my kids, and let's face it, I'm an old teacher, so this is my retirement
right.
I'm talking about too,
right.
is based on the ability to actually develop the resources we have. It's significant and it's huge. I don't think anyone realizes the impact you have on people in these states that are dominated by the federal government.
Stega, this is an interesting angle. Lori is in Eau Claire, Wisconsin. Go ahead, Lori. You're on with the congressman. Go ahead.
Hi. I have called congressmen for years begging them on this issue. I think oil drives our economy, number one. And I think the part of that is proof is that when the gas prices went down, all of a sudden and the American people started feeling good about the economy. When you have that much more money in your pocket, you can spend it on something, or you can save it, or you can push it towards your retirement. But I don't understand why our party, and I'm one of them, I'm a Republican, why does our party not, in Congress, in the Senate, drive this issue? Everybody in the country, almost, with a few exceptions, agrees with this.
Okay. Okay. Thanks, Lori. Congressman, Chairman.
Well, to be honest, I think we are driving this issue. One of the problems we have is, you know, when I was a teacher, I could control the environment in my classroom. We did great things. Back here in Congress, we don't always control the environment, and much of the message that she is asking has to be filtered through a third party. You are doing a good job in helping us with that. You're not the majority of those in the media that's trying to get this message.
Yeah. What did you teach, by the way, Congressman?
At the end, it was really easy. I was doing all advanced placement history and government class.
Oh, man, you don't want to do it today. Have you seen what they've done to AP? Have you noticed?
No, I have not.
Oh, it's fascinating. Yeah. Let me just take 20 seconds because you'll be interested. They have adjusted the AP exam so that it's like the history you get in college, which means it's way to the left. It's extremely tendentious because that's what you get in college. So now to prepare for AP history, you got to write your essays like a little progressive.
That is sad because I always thought that what we were doing in high school was far more comprehensive than what they actually did in freshman college level.
I know. I agree. There's challenges to it. There's an article this morning in the Journal. Quickly, I'll ask Lee's question. How come? What's the history here? Why does the federal government own so much of the land?
It comes with a paradigm shift. If you go back to the beginning of the country, the federal government paid for the government. The 1820s, almost 25% of the government budget came from selling land in the territories.
I see.
And then as the states came into the Union, in their enabling acts, they were supposed to get control of all their land back. That did not happen in the late 1800s and 1900s when the West got in. So states like Illinois started out in our same condition, but they eventually got their land back. The states like Utah and Nevada, were mistreated.
I see it. Thank you very much. Wonderful debut. Please come back, Chairman.
I would enjoy it.
Thank you.
It's good to talk to you.
I'm torn. Want the man to stay as chairman. I also want him back teaching AP history in an honest way. We could use some of that. Thank you, Chairman Bishop, very much. We'll be back.